This is ESPN Radio.
And judging by Elijah Mitchell's expectation of playing this weekend, it's fair to say that the 49ers are fans of the show. This is hour number four on a Football Friday. It's Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty, we're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. And Gojo, looking at the Week 11 slate, we got some games that are pretty intriguing. We got some pivotal matchups, and it just got me to thinking, like, I know we did can't lose, must win earlier on in the week, but what team needs to get a win the most, in your opinion, this weekend in Week 11?
Yeah, so looking up and down the slate here, like, to me, I crossed off the easy ones, right? Like, if you're the Cleveland Browns or the Tennessee Titans playing the Detroit Lions and the Houston Texans, respectively, you cannot lose these games, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's just, that can't be something that's even in the conversation at all. You can maybe throw San Fran at Jacksonville in there, too, considering the Jags, we saw with the Bills, aren't a team that should be losing games. That's who I circle back to, though. That Bills team, Chris, got a lot creeping up in its rearview mirror right now, right? We hear all the time from Christine Lisi, our great SportsCenter update anchor, who's a diehard Bills fan, who thought this was the year you could finally put New England in the rearview. And like every major Halloween movie villain ever, you gotta kill them twice, because now all of a sudden they're creeping up from behind here and starting to look closer in the rearview mirror than you thought they appeared.
Oh, absolutely. And those Buffalo Bills better be awfully nervous because, I mean, of the teams that they've beaten, they've got a combined 18-39 record. So when it comes to strength of competition, I know a lot of people have been salty on the New England Patriots, but the Buffalo Bills really ain't beat nobody either. I mean, the one win on their resume that we could say is, I guess, at least a little bit respectful is the Kansas City Chiefs. And that just, you know, kind of happened with what they've done the last 3 or 4 weeks. But Kansas City now is not the same version that the Buffalo Bills beat in early October. So, like, there's a lot of show and prove that the Bills have, and I think it has to start this weekend with the Indianapolis Colts. But for me, Gojo, that's the team that I'm looking at as needing a win the most, because they haven't beaten anybody that has a record over 500 this year. They're 0-5. So this is a situation now where they've got to kind of get things going in order to at least – be back in the position that they were in last year, which is playing in the wild card round. And ironically, this is their first game back in Buffalo since they lost that game last season. So that's the team that's got to make it happen, because they invested an awful lot to be able to bring Carson Wentz over from the Philadelphia Eagles, potentially giving up a first-round pick to the Eagles, amongst others, for Carson. Like, they thought they were upgrading at the quarterback position. They've got to find a way to be able to get this done. And if you're Carson Wentz, there is no excuse. You have a good enough supporting cast to be able to go on the road and beat the Buffalo Bills. I mean, we ran down the list earlier, but I got to say it again. This Indianapolis Colts team is really solid from top to bottom when you look at their roster. I would venture to say they've got four all-pro caliber players. You got Jonathan Taylor in the backfield, who leads the NFL in yards from scrimmage. You got Quentin Nelson, their left guard. You got DeForest Buckner, their defensive tackle. And you got the maniac Darius Leonard as their off-the-ball linebacker. So this is a roster with a lot of talent, and Carson has got the support that he needs. This team has got to start turning it on in terms of being able to get wins, because right now they're on the outside looking in when it comes to the playoff picture. They're not holding on to one of those wild card spots in the AFC. So this is one of those must-win type of situations for the Indianapolis Colts.
Chris, don't you look at the Colts, though, and think that this has kind of always been a two-year plan with Carson Wentz, right? Financially, it certainly worked out that way. But for them, I don't think this was as similar as we wanted to make it as Philip Rivers coming over last year, right? Philip Rivers, much better football player overall than Carson Wentz, obviously, but also an established guy. You absolutely knew what you were getting with Philip Rivers under center in that situation. With Carson Wentz, this was going to be a reclamation project the entire way through. And so we've seen that has been some good and some bad. There have been some quality plays in there. There's been good stretches for Carson Wentz. And then there's been the typical disaster play that we're used to seeing from him. That's the only reason I put more of the pressure on the Buffalo side, Chris. Because with Buffalo, we saw what they built up to last year. That was an MVP caliber season for Josh Allen. And on the top end, where they live and the Colts don't right now, you can't count on Kansas City being this bad again next year, right? And Kansas City has been bad only by their standards so far this season. The only team in the AFC with more wins than them is the Titans. So that just to me feels like the pressure on the top end for those teams that are in a different weight class right now than Indy.
Well, I think you're basing that on the expectations that you had on the two teams. I mean, you have a lower ceiling for the Indianapolis Colts because you don't trust the quarterback as much there as you do with Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. So I can understand where you're coming from, but as far as the Colts are concerned, they fully expect to be able to compete with teams like the Buffalo Bills and teams like the Kansas City Chiefs and teams like the Tennessee Titans. But up until this point this season, they haven't been. I mean, they're 0-for when it comes to playing against teams that were in the playoffs from a year ago. So this is a situation now where you've got to start looking at the quarterback and wondering, okay, they brought you here to be a force multiplier and to help this team not only get to where they were last year, but to move past that. And right now, their season can go either way in terms of being able to get into the playoffs. Like, they could be on the outside looking in. And to me, that would represent an epic failure based on the expectations that the organization had coming into this year.
Do you think any of that affects Carson Wentz's status going into next season? Because I think that's a part of this.
No, he's their guy. They're locked into him. I mean, they're locked into him contractually. Like, he's their guy. They invested a ton in him. But I think it could potentially put a lower ceiling on this team than what they want it to be. This is not what Chris Ballard had in mind, a team scrapping and scraping to barely make it into the playoffs and then being ousted in the first round. Like, you didn't trade away all of that draft capital. You didn't give Carson all of that money just to say, you know what, this is where we're going to be. Like, this is a team from a roster standpoint that had a top 10 offense and a top 10 defense from a year ago. So the pieces are there for the Indianapolis Colts, and you have some young emerging players on that team that are only going to get better. Jonathan Taylor is only going to get better. Michael Pittman Jr. is only going to get better. Darius Leonard, the same thing. So there really aren't any excuses for Carson not to be able to get this done, for Frank Reich and this Colts team not to get this done. And that's why I say this is a huge game for them going up to Orchard Park this weekend. Huge game. It's got to be a must-win situation right now. They've got to find a way to be able to get this done.
It's got to be – it feels like the stakes are starting to get high for everybody, because what just got uttered during the last break around here should send shivers down the rest of the NFL spine. Because, Chris, we looked up and realized that based on the way things are trending right now, it is not out of the realm of possibility for us to start to suppose about a Bill Belichick versus Tom Brady Super Bowl. And I feel like the rest of the NFL would spontaneously, like, just saying it out loud feels dirty. Just saying it out loud feels gross. But we can say it out loud because of the way New England has started to creep up into this picture, and that should scare the hell out of everybody.
And right now, when you're looking at the two teams, the Patriots and the Buccaneers, which of the two is playing better football? You have to say the Patriots. I mean, from a week-to-week basis, I've been saying this about them in comparison to the other AFC teams. But, I mean, I guess you could probably say the same thing with the rest of the NFL. They're one of the teams that I trust the most in terms of their level of consistency. And this time of year, that's exactly what you want, because your team incrementally improves as the season develops, and that's what we've seen from the Patriots, both on the offensive side of the ball and the defensive side of the ball. So there aren't too many other teams out there that can make that claim, and we talked about all the other teams in the NFC in the last 3 weeks being hung an L in some shape or fashion. So, yeah, right now I don't think it's crazy to let your mind wander down that road of a potential matchup between Brady and Belichick and seeing where that would go. I mean, you're talking about part two in this season, in the postseason for all the marbles. So we would only be so fortunate if something like that would happen. But based on how the Patriots play defense and based on what we know about the Buccaneers and how talented they are, it's not something that you can completely dismiss.
Man, rest of the NFL, this is where you want to be when Jesus comes back, right? Letting Bill and Tom get to the Super Bowl again. This is where you guys want to be. All right, listen, that's fine. I just needed to know that by now. Right. By the way, rookie running back Elijah Mitchell, who Chris Canty mentioned at the top of the segment, the team's leading rusher, is listed as doubtful for the 49ers Week 11 game. So we got our eye on you,
Elijah Mitchell. You better get out there and play, man. You're with the franchise that had Ronnie Lott, a guy that cut a part of his finger off to go out there and keep playing.
Honestly,
you better get out there.
My dad, that Ronnie Lott was the example my entire childhood that my dad would hold up and say, how bad do you want it? If you were in a game and you had to choose, would you cut your finger off? And I said, Dad, are you holding a knife right now? This is getting a little weird. Coming up next, speaking of getting weird, let's get weird in the NFL, because I think we had three quarterbacks come into this season with a lot to lose. And I think last time we checked, we only got one man standing. We'll tell you who that is next here. Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Ball Friday here on Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty, we're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. And Gojo, we got a sneaky big matchup at the link this weekend between the New Orleans Saints and the Philadelphia Eagles. And something you said earlier this week really actually gave me a little bit of pause when you reminded me that over the last 4 weeks, no quarterback in the NFL has a higher QBR than Jalen Hurts. So quite naturally, that brings into question, like, is Jalen Hurts going to be the guy for the Philadelphia Eagles moving forward? I think as each passing week goes, we get closer to being able to say the answer is yes to that question. And I don't know that seems like a scary place for the NFC East to be in if you're talking about the Eagles finally finding their franchise quarterback with all the draft capital they have on the horizon.
Yeah, Chris, that's the tough part. So we look at this, right? The Eagles have three first-round draft picks this upcoming year. That can look like two things to everyone else here. It can look like, break in case of emergency, you knew Jalen Hurts was going to be here with a one-year trial year to try and make this happen as a former second-round pick, or it can be the cavalry on the way if you've got your guy. Now, Chris, I still don't think, if you asked me today to determine if Jalen Hurts was the franchise for you or not going forward, I still don't think I would say yes right this second. But what he's done is he's changed the narrative and made it really hard, right? Because you mentioned the QBR thing. The first 5 weeks of the season, he was 28th. He was playing bad ball, but a lot of that was also Nick Sirianni, right? We talked to Kevin Negandhi from the 6 o'clock Sports Center earlier today, proud all things Philadelphia fan, and everyone saw the way it was going around there, Chris, and that's always the way these things come up, right? We see Bill Belichick and the Pats doing right by Mac Jones, and now it seems like Nick Sirianni and the Eagles have finally started to give Jalen a chance like that.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Based on where they were as an organization, it felt like this was the right opportunity for them to give Jalen an opportunity, because it just made sense, right? You pushed the reset button. You got rid of Carson Wentz. You got rid of your head coach. It just felt like they were transitioning, and right now, because they didn't have any better option and they weren't necessarily in position to be able to get their hands on one of those signal callers at the top of the draft, it felt like the right move for the Eagles to roll with Jalen Hurts, see what he can do, get a full season sample size, and then you can make a determination in the 2022 offseason. The only thing that complicates that to some degree is whether or not you're going to have a veteran quarterback that would be even remotely interested in signing up to play for Nick Sirianni based on where the Eagles are currently at. But then also the draft class and the crop of quarterbacks coming out of college in 2022. So it seems like the thing that the Eagles fans should be rooting for is Jalen Hurts to continue to play well, because you would like to build around him and potentially roll with him in 2022, just because it doesn't seem like you're going to have any other better options that would make sense based on where the program is at. So, yeah, I think this is a huge game for Jalen Hurts. The Eagles aren't necessarily out of it when we start talking about the wild card picture in the NFC, knowing that 6th and 7th wild card, I mean, it seems like that's going to be right there for the taking. So, I think this is a big game for Jalen Hurts, and if he can bring his team that much closer to securing a playoff berth, I think the conversation around him is going to continue to shift toward the Eagles needing to give him a little more runway and to continue to give him an opportunity to prove that he's their guy long term.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. And, yeah, he was one of the three guys that we came into this season feeling this kind of way about, Chris. You had Jared Goff and the Detroit Lions. Jared Goff cast away by the Los Angeles Rams franchise that drafted him. He's now going there, and it doesn't look like it's going great so far. They did get a tie, though, here, and I guess you know that's worth something. But he also got called out by his head coach. You had Sam Darnold that headed off from the New York Jets, again, the team that drafted him in the first round. He went down to Carolina, and now we got the word today that Cam Newton's getting the start this weekend. So that one's probably over for him, too. So I give Jalen Hurts credit for being able to weather the storm, Chris, right? He's a remarkably resilient, mature football player. He always has been between Alabama and Oklahoma, his stops in college. But it's also going to be about what this Eagles team wants its identity to continue to be, right? Like, he is the leading rusher on the Eagles team so far this season. He is just one of two quarterbacks. It is him and Lamar Jackson doing that right now. And we've seen with a lot of these teams, Chris, you got to make that decision early on what you want to do. Because whether it was the Buffalo Bills with Josh Allen, who I thought did an exemplary job of this, whether it was Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens, you can even point to Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns. Smart organizations identify, all right, we've got a guy we believe in, and you build around him accordingly. Devonta Smith was a great start. He has been outstanding for the Eagles so far this season. That offensive line, when healthy, is one of the better offensive lines in the league. But with those three first-round picks looming in the distance, Chris, I feel like you have got to be sure on this. Because if it is, you got to go all in on Jalen Hurts' specific identity. Not just getting talent, but getting talent that fits him. And that is mortgaging your future in a really important draft for this team.
No question about it. But I think what you said about Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens and that formula actually being able to have success in this league, I think that's one of those things that bodes well for Jalen Hurts. I'm not saying that he is Lamar Jackson or even remotely close to that, but we all know this. If you have a quarterback that has some wheels, I mean, it's hard to account for the quarterback as a primary ball carrier in the run game when you're developing your plan on how you're going to stop him as a defense. So if Jalen Hurts can continue to show that he can be, you know, a featured ball carrier, and this team can have success. I mean, you're talking about a top three rushing attack in the National Football League. So there is something there, and it might not have been what Nick Sirianni set it out to do this season, but it could ultimately be the identity that allows this team as constituted to have success. And if you do flirt with one of those wild card spots, it'd be hard to justify not going in that direction when it came to how you're going to utilize your draft capital next offseason. So it just seems like if Jalen Hurts continues to trend in the direction that he's going and this team continues to find ways to be competitive and win games, then, yeah, you've got to continue to build around him. I think that would be better than your alternative, which would be the options coming out of the college ranks. And I'm not necessarily sold that any of those guys are franchise quarterbacks, guys that are worth mortgaging all that draft capital for.
Jalen Hurts got an interesting matchup that he had some success with last year against the New Orleans Saints, a very banged-up New Orleans Saints team. So coming up next, we want to take a look at that matchup and some of the other key matchups around the league, especially in light of some of the high-profile players that aren't going to be available heading into Sundays. We'll get to that after we tell you about this man in the arena. Now, join host Gautam Chopra as he explores what makes Tom Brady so unique and what he has meant to football and the world in Man in the Arena. It's a new podcast from ESPN Plus and Religion of Sports. It's a companion piece to Gotham's ESPN Plus docuseries. This 10-part podcast examines the improbable ripple effects of Brady's career. Things that have forced us to rethink everything we thought we knew about time, hate, and perfection. Hell, even throw fate in there. Why not? Podcast is brought to you by State Farm, ZipRecruiter, and Rocket Mortgage. Listen and follow Man in the Arena now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and stream the docuseries on ESPN+. Back after this, Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Football Friday here on Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. And Mike, week 11 is upon us in the National Football League. And just looking at the slate, we got a lot of interesting matchups. But you know, as always, when it comes to game planning and trying to figure out who exactly has the competitive edge in these games, there's always the game within the game. So with some of the marquee matchups in Week 11, we figured we'd take a closer look a deeper dive and try to give our listeners just a little more insight as it comes to who we think might actually win these ball games.
Yeah, let's take a look right now. Get this thing started a little bit. What we got coming up first here?
Cowboys at Chiefs.
All right, Cowboys at Chiefs. As we mentioned, it is the first time since Patrick Mahomes took over as the starter in Kansas City that they are less than a field goal favorite at home. 2.5-point favorites against the Cowboys coming in here. Chris, what do you have your eye on in this one?
I got my eye on that Dallas Cowboys offensive line with Tyron Smith expected to be back in the lineup going up against that Chiefs front seven. Listen, the Cowboys have a top five run block win rate in the National Football League, and the Kansas City Chiefs defense is the second worst in terms of run stop win rate in the NFL. So something's got to give for Kansas City, and I'm pretty sure they're hoping that it's not their defensive front when it comes to slowing down Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard. So that's going to be the key for the Chiefs in this matchup. They're going to have to be able to get some stops up front and be able to make sure they can get the Cowboys offense off the field and get the ball back to Pat Mahomes. Because if I'm Dallas, if I'm Mike McCarthy, the best defense for Pat Mahomes and that Chiefs offense is keeping him on the sideline.
And that was the biggest question that the Dallas Cowboys answered early in the season. We saw them go out there and air it out against Tampa. They were able to slow it down and invite some more balance after that. They gave teams a lot they could handle. Chris, I look at the secondary in that one for Dallas. Going up against all these Chiefs weapons here, you mentioned it. Dan Quinn comes over. We heard about everyone going two high safeties. That's not necessarily in his DNA going all the way back to his time in Seattle. And Trevon Diggs, he has been the biggest boom or bust player in the NFL. We know it's been a lot of boom, a lot of interceptions leading the NFL. But you see teams continue to try him. And if he gives this Kansas City offense a shot on some double moves, especially against a guy like Tyreek Hill, could be a long, long afternoon at Arrowhead. What do we got next?
Packers and Vikings.
All right, Green Bay heading on the road to Minnesota. Green Bay, 1-point road favorites in this one. Chris, Aaron Rodgers and the company here rolling in here in a decent spot. What do you like in this one?
Well, I'm looking at the Green Bay corners matched up against, you guessed it, one of the best wide receiver duos in the National Football League, and Justin Jefferson and Adam, I got a feeling like those two guys can present a lot of problems. And I know everybody wants to give Joe Barry, defensive coordinator for the Green Bay Packers, a lot of credit for how he's transformed this unit. Even without Jair Alexander and Za'Darius Smith, arguably their two best players on that side of the ball. But I will say this, Kirk Cousins has got it rolling this year. I mean, he's top 10 in terms of quarterback passer rating, and he's been shown to air it out. And this Minnesota Vikings offense is a top 10 outfit. So that defense for the Green Bay Packers, the corners in particular, are going to have to step up if they want to have a chance to be able to keep their win streak alive. That's going to be the biggest thing that I'm watching in this matchup. The corners for Green Bay matched up against Thielen and Jefferson.
That is going to really stress that. You mentioned it, by the way, with Kirk Cousins leading the league in touchdown to interception ratio.
Hello.
18 touchdowns to just 2 interceptions here. The Packers 8-0 when picking off the quarterback this season, so that's going to be major league here. I'd look up front too, Chris, at this offensive line. The rushing matchup for Dalvin Cook and the Vikings going up against Kenny Clark and this Packers defense that's improved. We've seen Rashawn Gary show up more in that front here. Dalvin Cook's got 4 straight games with a touchdown against the Packers. 8 total touchdowns in that span. And in their last meeting, he had 4 touchdowns. So got to cut off the head of the snake with that one. I know certainly that back end's going to get tested. But like we talked about with Sean Merriman earlier, you got to stop things up front here with that mentality for this Packers defense with the tone they want to set on the other side. It's Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Let's roll along and look at the next matchup for this weekend.
Colts at Bills.
All right, Colts at Bills. The Bills, a stout 7-point favorite against the Indianapolis Colts. Chris, you said this is the must-win on the weekend for the Colts rolling out there to Buffalo. So what has to happen in this one for that to be the case?
Well, anytime you start talking about the leader in rushing yards and yards from scrimmage, Gojo, he has to be the focal point. I'm talking about Jonathan Taylor, running back for the Indianapolis Colts. And although the Buffalo Bills have a top 5 run defense, I think that's just by reputation and statistics. When you peel back the layers and you actually look at their opponents that they've won against, they haven't necessarily had a commitment toward the run. And the one time they did play a team that liked to run the football, the Tennessee Titans with Derrick Henry, they gave up a 146 on the ground and they ended up catching the fade. So to me, the matchup to watch is whether or not that front seven for the Buffalo Bills is going to be able to stop Jonathan Taylor in this Colts rushing attack. I know Tremaine Edmonds, their middle linebacker, their do-everything linebacker, has been banged up. Can those guys on the inside be able to come downhill and be able to get those gaps filled out enough to be able to slow down that Colts run game? That, to me, is going to be the key in this matchup.
That's going to be a huge one, no doubt here, Chris. I would also look at the Colts defense on the other side, though, going up into this one. For the Bills, weird output, a 9-6 loss to Jacksonville in that game. I think quietly this season, while we've talked so much about the Chiefs and the way that people have tried to stop them, play back, play big two, cover two shells to slow down the big plays on that offense, people have been starting to try and do that to the Bills, and it's frustrated some of the consistent playmaking we saw from last year. The Colts got a turnover in 11 straight games. They are tied with the Giants for the longest active streak in the NFL, and I think that could go a long way for this unit to give the Bills something they haven't seen a ton of here, quality defense on the opposite of a lot of these wins here. Let's get one more in here. What do we got?
Saints at Eagles.
All right, Chris, we've talked a lot about this through the lens of Jalen Hurts. Quarterback burst onto the scene last year with over 100 yards passing and rushing against the New Orleans Saints. Eagles are two-point favorites at home. What are you looking for here?
I'm looking for the Saints' defense being able to slow down the QB run game. The last time that they matched up, that was Jalen Hurts' first start. He had 106 rushing yards, and the Philadelphia Eagles hung 246 rushing yards on that Saints defense. So this is the number one run defense in the NFL, the New Orleans Saints. So being able to have a plan, Dennis Allen being able to slow down that run game led by their quarterback is going to be a key in this matchup. I would anticipate that they would have a plan, but they still got to go out there and execute it. I think that's going to be the biggest thing that I'm watching for in determining the outcome of this matchup at the link.
Chris, I want to focus in, and this one certainly going to be a big part of the outcome of the game. But this is more for entertainment value than anything else. We've talked so much about Ja'Marr Chase this season amongst rookie wide receivers. We've kind of forgotten about Devonta Smith. 603 yards on the season is third amongst rookies. He's got a chance to just become the second Eagles player with 650 receiving yards in his first 11 career games since 1970. It would be him and DeSean Jackson in this game. And we know that Saints secondary is for real on the other side of the football. A great matchup for one of the bright young stars in the league as we head into this weekend. And this weekend preview is brought to you by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Go to geico.com today. Coming up next, as we head into the weekend, we're excited about football. We will give you the actual best news you will hear all day next on ESPN Radio.
Kenny and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appeared via the Goodyear Hotline. Got to give a shout-out to the guests that came on our show on a Football Friday. SportsCenter anchor and the host of ESPN College Football Podcast, Kevin Negande, getting us set with all things Philadelphia sports. Rick Stroud from the Tampa Bay Times giving us the update on Antonio Brown. And then, of course, Chris the Bear Felica, co-host of the Stanford Steve and the Bear Podcast, getting us set with the sports gambling for the upcoming football weekend. And then lights out, my man Sean Merriman, three-time NFL Pro Bowler, just going around the league getting ready for the Week 11 slate. If you missed any of it, go to the Canty and Golic Jr. podcast, download, rate, and subscribe. But Gojo, we have now reached a portion of our program where it's time for us to go three and out.
Sometimes it's the worst. Sometimes it's the best. Either way, we'll get you straight with everything you need to know. This is Three and Out.
It's the end of the week. It's the end of the day. It is brought to you by Indeed. You want to hire right? Visit Indeed.com. And maybe one of the best hires in the history of this company, and a guy that we all know and love, got some great news here. Just 1 month after being diagnosed with lymphoma and 3 months after undergoing surgeries to remove a melanoma, ESPN's Hall of Fame college basketball analyst Dick Vitale is going to return to call the first game of his 43rd season at the worldwide leader. Oh, by the way, it'll be number one Gonzaga versus number two UCLA in the Good Sam Empire Classic. Dickie V and Dave O'Brien going to be on the call for that game. And Chris, I know everyone involved, certainly happy that Dickie is doing well. He's in the middle of a six-month chemo plan, but getting to do the thing he loves in the midst of all of that.
Oh, and I could just imagine the call for that game too, right? You got a Diaper Dandy and Chet Holmgren versus the PTPer and Johnny Juicing. I mean, it doesn't feel like college basketball unless you got Dickie V actually doing the game. So shout out to him. Happy that he's getting able to get back to doing what he really loves to do, which is being a part of college basketball and being able to call these games.
Yep, he is on the Mount Rushmore of broadcasters at this company. He has done so much for college basketball, and so glad that he is doing well enough to go on this, and certainly continue to think and pray for Dick Vitale as he goes through his chemotherapy here. Ken Angolik Jr. here going 3 and out, and we have got news in the NBA. LeBron James will return to the Lakers in the lineup tonight as they get ready to face the Boston Celtics. Chris, our resident Lakers fan in here, this going to finally fix everything for you guys?
Well, it's going to make things a whole lot better. I mean, adding LeBron James, arguably the best player in the NBA still in year 19, is definitely going to cure a lot of the ills. I don't think it's going to fix all of the problems. But it's clear that, you know, watching this team against the Milwaukee Bucks, they were missing something. They were looking for somebody to be that spark, and they just ain't got that guy. So now that dude, that man, is going to be back out there on the court. I'm watching him warm up right now on NBA Countdown, and I can't wait because it's probably going to lead to a different result than we've seen here of late with the Lakers in the 8-game absence of LeBron going 3-5. That's all going to change with the King being back on the court.
Yep, that'll be a good new version of headlines surrounding the Boston Celtics today after I had to read all those podcast headlines about Paul Pierce supposedly pooping his pants from back in the day.
Wow.
It was a weird afternoon on the internet here. Canty Angolik Jr., Mike Golic Jr., and Chris Canty. Let's look at some other good news that's come up here, though. June Lee has done a lot on the reporting front around the situation surrounding minor leaguers and the accommodations that they have had at that level. And there is finally some change on the way. An expansion to the housing accommodations expected to provide more than 90% of minor league players with furnished housing across every level. Major League Baseball announced on Thursday. The policy will have some exceptions here, but now players will receive housing at the AAA, AA, single A, high and low A, and spring training complex levels. Going from here on out. And Chris, it's a shame that we have to talk about this finally just happening now, but it is great for the guys at that level who have sometimes had to work 2 and 3 jobs just to make ends meet.
Yeah, that's tough, man. When you're an up-and-comer in baseball, you know, just trying to survive in the minor league level and develop your skills in order to make it to the show, I mean, sometimes it ends up being cost prohibitive. So it's good on Major League Baseball trying to find a way to create more pathways for these younger players, these minor leaguers, to be able to, you know, have the opportunity to play the game that they love and potentially develop themselves into assets for the big league club. So this is something that's long overdue. I'm glad that baseball is getting to this point. Now, hopefully, they'll be able to get some other things right when it comes to their collective bargaining agreement negotiations this coming offseason. Not sure that that's going to happen, but we can always keep our fingers crossed.
Before we get to that winter with Major League Baseball, though, we got to wrap up Sad Girl Autumn that's going on right now. Adele's newest album, 30, just dropped, and the single Easy On Me is approaching 6 million streams already on Spotify. It's currently at the top spot just a week after Taylor Swift's re-record of Red made history for the most streamed album day by a female with nearly 91 million streams. Chris, you got a long weekend of listening ahead of you, my friend, and I am jealous.
No doubt about it. You know that's going to be in heavy rotation in my household when we got our Friendsgiving going on. But in terms of the teams that are going to play in Week 11, I'm pretty sure that Baker Mayfield is asking the Detroit Lions defense to take it easy on him. He might need to play that in his pregame warm-ups based on how banged up he is.
There better be Adele playing in the pregame warm-ups. Stick around here next, though, on ESPN Radio. CJ McCollum joining Spain and Fitz coming up at 8:30 right here.